Fear is a normal emotion. When we feel our security threatened, our physical or fiscal well-being, or the well-being of those close to us, fear is often part of our response. Learning to control and overcome our fears is an essential part of living a fulfilled, adventurous, and faith-filled life. To look fear in the face and not be afraid. It is clear to others and ourselves that we will not be controlled or censored by fear. To look fear in the face and not be afraid is to let the power of love move you and expand you to be good news in the world. The gospel text of today, it's written, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must Jesus be lifted up." This is a reference to the book of Numbers. The gospel writer is suggesting that in order to understand the crucifixion of Jesus, the lift high the cross hymn we just sung, we might ponder upon an old snake story. In Numbers 22, the wandering Israelites en route to the so-called Promised Land, which is code for somebody else's land, were in the desert and suffering from snake bites. As one would expect in ancient times, every good or bad incident in their community was a result of their God's whims. In this story, the snakes were biting because the people had been naughty. So after they'd all said sorry, Moses, on instructions from the God, made a bronze serpent, stuck it on a pole, and raised it skyward. By raising an effigy of a snake, people were healed of snake bite. Now, anthropologists have a name for this. It's called sympathetic magic. Making of an image of a creature offsets the power of that creature. In the medical world, immunologists could call sympathetic magic making hyperimmune serum. A small part of a disease is injected into the bloodstream of a healthy person in order that the person's immune system would build and develop its own resistance. It's what some vaccinations do. Was Moses raising a symbol of fear in order to vaccinate the people against the fear of pain and death? Snakes, particularly for those of us unfamiliar with them, epitomize fear. Whether you enjoy their beauty and movement from a safe distance, or like many ancient cultures, see in them a symbol of regeneration, there's also the knowledge that snakes are potentially dangerous and deadly. To be bitten by a snake is to experience pain and maybe even death. The question then arises about why one of the early Christian writers was likening the crucifixion of Jesus to the raising of a serpent on a pole. Was the author of the fourth gospel saying that Jesus' death was like a snake? And if so, how? I'd like to suggest that firstly, the snake represents fear, and the early disciples were afraid. They had followed their wise and charismatic rabbi for a number of years. They had seen in him not just wisdom and charisma, but a spirit and presence that they believed was of the essence of God. They had left their homes and livelihoods to follow him. In his crucifixion, it was as if their hopes and dreams had also died. They felt terribly alone and abandoned by their God. In addition, they feared through their association with Jesus that they too would be hunted down and murdered. And this fear was not misplaced. Such hunting down and murdering was standard Roman practice. So I think the gospel writer is saying As the Israelites looked on the snake on the pole, so look at that which you fear. Pain and death by crucifixion, the desolation of abandonment. Look into the face of fear. Acknowledge fear's power. Wrestle with your feelings. And then walk free of it. If you don't face your fear, you won't overcome it. It will lurk at your back and slide out to bite you in the rear. When the church talks about Jesus overcoming death, it doesn't mean Christians don't physically die. Strange, that. Usually, overcoming death is interpreted as meaning there's a heavenly afterlife for believers. I think, however, it is more faithful to the biblical tradition to understand overcoming death as meaning overcoming the fear of death. To overcome that fear enabled the early Christians to have the courage to proclaim their truth in the face of significant political and religious opposition and persecution. Indeed, it's possible to understand the whole idea of resurrection as hinging around overcoming fear in order to let the power of the love of God flow unfettered through the community and through each individual within it. Most of the appearance stories, it's when a Jesus apparition appeared to the cowering followers, address this issue of fear. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you, said the Easter Jesus. Until the disciples confronted their own fears, the empowering Spirit would not resurrect them. I think in our Christian history, we have suffered from parishioners, priests, and bishops who have not looked fear in the face, and who have therefore created mental and emotional walls to keep pain, death, and abandonment away. They valued security over revelation, surety of conviction over engagement with outsiders, conformity and control over new ideas, and the revelation that outsiders can bring. Religious fear is often projected out onto those who are different, those of a different culture, religion, or skin pigmentation. Jews, gay and lesbian people, single women, the disabled, all have been victims of the church's inability to face, own, and overcome its own fears. Inability to face fear has also led the church to be fixated with doctrinal control. Exploration, freedom, innovation, creativity. These are all values that, according to the ecclesiastical controllers, needed to be carefully watched and, when looking threatening, suppressed. Church teaching has elevated the values of submission and obedience, and it's been disdainful of anything theologically adventurous. And these attitudes still persist. I long for the day when the whole church will see the one who is strange, who is sexually other, who doesn't believe what we believe, as firstly a human being like you and I, and secondly a potential bearer of gifts and grace. When the Israelites looked at the elevated snake, a symbol of their fears, they experienced healing. The snake also represents religious otherness. In ancient Middle Eastern mythology, it's best known as the symbol of the goddess, representing fertility and birth, and also the cyclical nature of rebirth in spring. The shedding of its skin and hibernation create associations with transformation and immortality. Did the wandering Israelites not only fear potential pain and death, but also the faith of the goddess religions they were encountering? Did they need to look at these female gods and realize both the strengths and shortcomings of their own male god in order to be healed in their soul? Maybe then Joshua's slaughter of the Canaanites might have been avoided. Did the writer of the fourth gospel know this goddess association when he used a story from the book of Numbers to talk about Jesus? Jesus' ministry certainly reveals a remarkable openness, bearing in mind he was a male rabbi, to the insights of both women and people of other religions. Was this Johannine passage asking Jesus' followers to see the cross as symbolizing the fearlessness of the church, to not only proclaim its message of love, but to engage deeply with those outside its boundaries? Indeed, is this not what love demanded of them and still demands of us?